Hey, all you Dog World listeners. This is Georgette. Just wanted to jump in here before we did our intro with our music into the show and let you know that a part of this interview was conducted via video as well. So there's going to be some referencing to maybe some dolls and also definitely a reference to a book that our guest Jean Foote wrote called For the Love of a Doll. And so you may hear us, you know, mention how wonderful the pictures are. If you'd love to see that book and see some more of the dolls that he references throughout this podcast, you can check us out at our YouTube channel, but you have to search for In the Doll World Podcast, and then it'll show up. We don't have a customized URL yet because we need 100 subscribers, so please, if you go to YouTube, please make sure you hit subscribe. That would be wonderful. But in the meantime, just wanted to let you know that, and we'll go ahead and get started with the intro and our music to In the Doll World. Thank you again for listening. Bye. Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the doll community. With your host, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls, and Tammy Fisher, owner of Curiositeej Dolls and Collectibles. Join us as we talk to and feature fascinating new dolls and doll artists, from avid collectors to repainters, redesigners, bloggers, authors, and all the people in between as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Here are your hosts, Georgette and Tammy.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us on In the Doll World. I am Tammy Fisher, and today I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Miss Georgette Taylor.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, Miss Georgette. And today, our special guest is Jean Foote, and he is going to tell us about his journey as a doll collector and tell us some great stories about Barbie. Hello, Jean.
Hey, welcome, Jean.
Hey, girls.
Thank you for joining us today.
I'm very excited about this.
And we're excited to meet you. Yes. You were recommended by someone. Actually, we've heard about you over years. I've been hearing about you, and I've been following you on Facebook. But Julian Kalinowski recommended you and said that you were one of the stars.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
That's very sweet of Julian. Yeah. I'm only a collector, but let's talk about that. In 1959, I had just done my first Broadway show, which closed on New Year's Eve, 1958-1959, and I came back to New York out of work. Now, during the winter, it's very hard for performers to find jobs. But in the winter, there is something called the Toy Fair that happens in New York every February. Right. And so we all try to get those jobs because they pay very well. And at the end of the day, they always have tickets for Broadway shows for the salesman. And if they have any left over, they give them to us.
Oh, nice.
Anyway, I was hired to demonstrate a toy for little boys called a safety saw, which was a little thing that had a little blade on it that hummed, and you could cut up styrofoam with it. Well, I was standing in my corner at the toy fair because in 1959, the entire toy fair only covered the fifth floor of the toy building in New York. That's all it was.
That was small.
I mean, everybody, it was small.
Yes.
All the guys were talking about, have you seen the doll with the tits? Have you seen the doll with the tits? And I thought, what in the world are they talking about? So one of the gentlemen came to my table, and I did my little spiel for him and tried to sell him my little toy. And then I said, excuse me, I don't want to appear rude or anything, but I keep hearing all of you fellas walking around saying, have you seen the doll with the tits? He's like, Mattel, they got a new doll over there. She's got tits. And I went, well, I guess I'd better go to see this.
Well, I want to ask you one question now. These guys who you were talking to, were they just people?
They were you have to remember in 1959, toy salesmen were all men.
Okay.
There were no women doing this at that time. It was men. And it was just men all over the room. And they were the salesmen who were there to buy the toys.
Right. Okay, good. I just wanted everyone to know who they were.
Well,
okay.
Anyway, I walked over to the Mattel section, which was a little room, and walked in, and there was this big sign that said Barbie, and these two dolls standing in those little black and white bathing suits, mm-hmm. and below them were dolls standing in all the 23 outfits they made that year. Wow. And I thought, oh, she's nice. She's pretty. And I turned around and walked out because I didn't care. I was trying to get a career started. Who needed a doll? I needed Gwen Verdon. I didn't need Barbie. Anyway, that happened. Right. Now, that summer, I did a summer stock tour of the show I had just done on Broadway that winter called Little Abner. And in that cast was a woman who had a little girl who was 4 years old. Her name was Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. And she kind of hung on me all the time. Well, her mother got a new job to go to Philadelphia to be in Fiorello, a new Broadway show that was coming mm-hmm. to town. And so Jacqueline came to stay with me for 4 weeks because okay. her father That's traveled nice. All over the world on business. So mm-hmm. Jacqueline and I were, she came to my house. Anyway, I was very chic when I was a kid, you know, and I would not allow paper napkins in my house, only cloth napkins. So I had decided I would buy some cloth napkins for my dining room, which I didn't have. Anyway, we went there and Jacqueline was tagging along behind me on 14th Street. And we went to Klein's on the Square, which was an old department store in New York. Mm-hmm. And on the first floor, as you know, when you go through the handbags and the jewelry and the makeup, it's all to capture you women. And I was headed for the housewares, which was up mm-hmm. on the second or third floor, wherever it was. And all of a sudden, I heard Jacqueline scream behind me. Ah! And I turned around and she said, oh, look, it's mommy. It's mommy. And I turned around and here was a table that said clearance on it. And it was that doll with the tits. Barbie. So she was $1.98. She was on a clearance sale. Mm-hmm. So I bought in September of 1959, I bought a number one Barbie. Wow. Took her rings out, threw them in the garbage, took the stand, threw it in the garbage, handed her the doll, and she walked around swinging her by her ponytail. I mean, that was Jacqueline's Barbie. And I had never thought of another Barbie for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had a career. I worked on Broadway for many years, and then I started going around the world and taking the Broadway musical around the world. I was directing Sweet Charity in Denmark, and my star's daughter was having her birthday. Mm. And I was going to have dinner with them. And so a birthday present was in order. Well, I thought, what am I going to do? So I ran out to the walking street in Aarhus, Denmark, and walked down the walking street, and all of a sudden came to a store, and there was a whole window full of, and I looked at it, and I went, oh my God, there's the doll with the tits. And I went, oh, Barbie, this is a perfect gift for Jacqueline. So my little Barbie girl, who became my Barbie girl.
Nice.
Christina Sun got doll. This doll was her first. This is the first Barbie I ever bought.
Wow.
And she's a,
after
she's
that a, first.
She's a Sun Glow Malibu Barbie.
Sun That's Gold it. Malibu. So, one of the
Sun
prettiest
Gold.
Malibu. Uh-huh.
Nice.
Sun Gold Malibu
she's
Barbie.
She's gorgeous.
Yeah, and she's dated 1981, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
83. So anyway. That was the first Barbie I ever bought, and it changed my life because the wow. next thing I knew, I made a deal with Susanna that I could be Christina's Barbie fairy, and Susanna said, "Knock yourself out." So Christina got for her first Christmas 9 dolls, 37 outfits, and a trunk.
Oh man!
I mean, I found a store called Pushcart on Fifth Avenue where it was like a Big Lots place,
right? Okay,
and they had everything for half price. I mean, the clothes were a dollar, and the dolls were $1.50. Well, I just kept going back, and there were 37 outfits, 9 dolls, and a trunk.
Wow!
What a great Christmas!
And that was her first Christmas.
Wow!
Well.
You had to step it up after that.
There wasn't much way you could step it up better than that. But the thing I discovered was some friends came to my house to visit one day, and they said, What are those dolls in the closet? And I said, those are Jacqueline's Barbie dolls. And she said, well, why haven't you sent them to her? And I said, oh, I've already sent them to her. I bought one for me too. And then, and I went, oh, and the next thing I knew, I was collecting dolls. I had no idea it was going to happen to me.
That's so funny.
But then that was the fall and the winter. Then the next spring, I went to the flea market, and all of a sudden, behind one of the tables, I saw one of those cases that say Barbie on it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, mm-hmm. Oh, what is that case back there? And this lady said, oh, it's a Barbie doll. I said, oh, how much is it? And she said, oh, it's $20. And I looked at it and I said, oh, could you take 15? Well, I got her for $18. I thought I had made a big sale, because I got her for 18. I got her home, and she was a red-haired ponytail from 1964.
Uh-huh.
And nice. I just kept looking at her and looking at her. And the next thing I know, my closet was full.
Full. Just like that, so, right?
And we had to come out of the closet, so to speak. We had to come out of the closet. So, but once I discovered the vintage, mm-hmm. I remembered buying that number one for Jacqueline in 1959. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things.
Very cool.
But anyway, it started my collection. And then I discovered the Barbie conventions. Oh, I discovered doll shows. Going to the doll shows in the late 70s, the late 70s, the early 80s was just so magical, because there were so many different kinds of dolls, and there was so much love for them in those mm-hmm. rooms. It was just fantastic. And I managed to amass, in 35 years of collecting, I managed to amass an enormous collection of vintage, and I collect up to about 89. After 89, she becomes a little too... I don't know how to explain it. It's just, she changes, and she's not Barbie to me any longer.
Just me.
Right. Yes.
But I had an enormous collection of vintage Barbies, which I had been, what happened was when my parents died, I inherited my family home, but I still own my apartment in New York. And, so I spend about half of my time here and half of my time in New York. Mm-hmm. And I had been down here for about 2 months, and I went back to New York. I live in a typical four-room railroad apartment in New York.
Right.
In an old tenement building.
Tenement, you know? Right. Mm-hmm.
And Midtown, 48th Street. I mean, it's fabulous.
Wow. Yeah.
And we own the building, which we bought from the city in 1981.
Oh, my gosh.
For $5,000.
What?
Whoa.
That was a good investment. We bought it for the back taxes as a cooperative.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful investment.
The 20 of us who lived in the... $250 I paid for my apartment.
Wow.
And now it's worth $650,000.
That was a great investment.
That's a beautiful investment.
Isn't that a good investment?
Yes. All right. Right downtown, too. Midtown. Right.
Midtown, 48th Street. Well, I was working on Broadway, and I had lived down on the Lower East Side, and I thought, I want to be able to walk to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I found myself an apartment midtown for $60 a month rent. I mean, now you're talking
insane.
This is 1964.
Exactly. That's crazy. Wow, that is so beautiful, man.
But anyway.
You were saying that you had a huge collection, and you went back home and you realized you had all these dolls.
Well, I walked into my apartment, and I had one of those things that happen to us when we have a realization.
Mm-hmm.
And I was standing there surrounded by dolls, and I thought, oh my God, Jean Foote, what if you dropped dead in this apartment? They wouldn't know what to do with these dolls. They'd know what to do with you, but they wouldn't know what to do with these dolls.
Right.
And I thought, this is ridiculous. You have had these dolls, many of them, because I've been collecting since 85. I mean, really collecting.
Mm-hmm.
And I had enough money that I could do it because I didn't have any kids to put through college, you know.
Right.
So I just put my money where I want to put it. You know?
I put it in Barbie.
And then I looked around and I thought, what am I going to do? So I called my friend Marl Davidson and I said, Marl, would you be interested in selling my dolls, my Barbie collection for me? Because she loved to come to my house and play. She's one of my best friends. And she said, boy, would I ever. So I just packed everything up and sent it off to her. And she's been selling it for me now for about, you know, 2 years. And
wow.
And we've been really well.
Wow.
So I'm quite pleased. I'm quite pleased.
That's good. How many dolls did you have in your collection? Do you know?
I don't know how many dolls, but I had 12 number ones with their boxes and their stands. 12.
Wow.
12 number one Barbies?
Uh-huh. 12 number ones with their stands and their boxes.
I mean,
that was just one thing. And then I had about 25. I had two number twos because I figure if you're going to put that money up, you might as well buy a number one rather than a number two and get the stand.
Right.
Because one of my favorite things ever that they made for Barbie was that number one stand.
Okay.
Mm.
She stands up by herself. She doesn't need anything under her arms, around her waist.
Right.
Doesn't screw up her clothes. She just looks gorgeous. So
is that the flat stand where you sit, where you
put the two prongs, the two prongs, and the feet fit down over the prongs?
Okay.
They've reintroduced her. Do you remember a series of dolls called the Holiday Hostess dolls?
I don't know them.
There was one for Thanksgiving, one for Christmas, one for Valentine's Day. And they were all modern dolls, but they all had the number one stand.
They were all Barbie dolls.
All number one. Dolls. All Barbies, yes. And yes, for me, that is one of the most beautiful things that was ever invented for a doll, is a stand that she stands on that you can't see how she stands.
Right.
To me, that's the magic of a stand.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Lily has the same kind of stand, but not exactly. But the number one stand for Barbie.
I wanted to know if you kept a certain amount of dolls for yourself out of the collection before you sold everything.
No.
You know, before you. Okay.
Four or five.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe. I decided if I was going to do this, I just had to let them go.
Okay.
Because I do have another collection of dolls. I have my Lily dolls.
Okay.
Once I got everything that I wanted of Barbies, they were all packed away in boxes and they were in my closets and put away.
Yeah.
Because
that's the hard thing about collecting.
I mean, being a doll collector, the hard thing is finding out how to display your dolls so it doesn't look like a junk room. I mean, because we can't buy just one. Doll collectors, they're five. I gotta have all five of them. You know. Well, you know, surely you must go through some
certainly
of that.
Certainly understand.
Well, there
certainly
is.
Understand.
Tammy would know more than me. She is
the one who's
the major collector.
That's right. Who has bought my last doll probably 50 times. So one last doll.
That's wonderful.
That is Tammy.
Yes. So, I can relate to that. One of the things that you said that was really important as a doll collector is when you were talking about if I were to die today, what would happen to my collection?
Mm-hmm.
And as a doll seller, I have run into a number of people who have inherited somebody's doll collection. And sometimes people bought these dolls like for their grandchildren or whatever.
Sure.
And they have 400 dolls.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who inherits these dolls has no clue what to do with them. They don't know that they're valuable. What, you know, a Barbie number one looks like a Barbie 1,550. You know, they all look the same to somebody who doesn't
of course,
collect dolls.
Uh-huh.
And so it's important that that's something that all of us as doll collectors, I think, should think about. What happens if you die? Because I mean, we're all going to go home some point, you know.
Really?
So what happens if you die tomorrow? How much of a burden have you left on those who already have to take care of your body?
Right.
And the rest of your things.
Right. Right.
What do they do with these dolls?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for those of us who own dolls to have like a spreadsheet or something so that people understand which dolls have value, or, you know, something like that. Because if not, you know, your number one Barbie gets donated to the Goodwill, just like number 205, you know, 57. They don't know any difference.
Yeah.
And so your person is giving away their part of their inheritance.
That's true.
So that was a smart move to say, okay, I'm going to sell these because you can.
Well, I mean, I just got to a point where truthfully, Barbie was no longer my main interest. Lily had become my main interest because I was trying to find Lily things, which is even more difficult to buy.
Yes.
Than Barbie, because she was made for such a short period of time, et cetera. I don't know. I loved my dolls so much. I really loved them that I wanted the enjoyment of seeing other people enjoying them. And that sounds a little selfish beautiful in a way, but
that's beautiful.
I just thought this is something that I've done with a lot of care. I've picked very specific dolls. And I was always told by my friends when I would show them a doll, they say, you have such an eye for a face. Mm-hmm. You know, a pretty, you know, because someone says, oh, all Barbies are beautiful. No, all Barbies are not beautiful.
They look different.
I'm sorry. Most of them are. But there comes a time when a little girl has put makeup on that mouth one too many times and tried to take it off. And now the lips are gone. I mean, and so now you have to talk about repainting dolls, restoring dolls, rerouting dolls. I don't mind cleaning a doll and resetting her ponytail if she is a ponytail. The ponytail and the swirl ponytail of the Barbies are the two most difficult to
recreate.
The American mm-hmm. girls and the others, you can sort of just recreate them in the vintage world. Those dolls that get up there that become all hair later, I don't know what to do with those dolls at all. I just keep them in the box, you know. But I mean, I was collecting before that little boy invented NRFB, you know. I was collecting a long time before that. You know, it was a 10-year-old boy who coined.
I didn't know that.
Oh,
do you know that?
And he collects model cars.
Okay.
And he said, oh, but the value in them is if they're NRFB. And the guy said, what's NRFB? And he said, never remove from box, this little boy said.
Yeah.
And it became something that went all over the world and has gone into the doll world everywhere now.
Wow.
That was the first time we heard about it, this little boy that was collected model cars. Mm-hmm. But it was
cool.
Very important that they're NRFB.
Yes.
that was where that actually came from.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know that. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm full of useless trivia, girls.
You know what? So how did your journey from collecting Barbies transition over to, you said, collecting Lily now? That's what you said?
Well, I was in Los Angeles. I had just directed an industrial show, as we call it in the business. It was for Univac, actually, was the name of the product. But hey, I was in Los Angeles, and I was walking down Montrose or whatever that street is, that street is in Hollywood, where all the little antique and collectible stores are.
Mm-hmm,
I can't remember what the name of it is. I didn't spend enough time in Los Angeles to ever learn Los Angeles. And I saw a doll in the window across the street, and I went running across the street, at which point I was stopped by a policeman. He said, what are you doing? You just jaywalked. I said, what? He said, you can't, you have to go to the corner to walk. And he was about to give me a ticket. And I said, oh, but I don't live here. He said, well, where do you live? And I said, in New York. And he said, well, maybe you should go back where you came from if you can't learn to walk across our street. Anyway. I was so worried about that doll in the window. All I wanted to do was get away from him. But anyway, I got away and went running into the store. And I said, oh, can I see that Barbie in the window? And this lady looked at me and she says, that, sir, is not a Barbie. That is a Lily. And I went, oh, Well, can I see the lily?
Whatever her name is, I need
whatever her, can I see her? She brought her over to me, and I looked at her, and the moment that I picked her up, had her in my hands, I just said, I want this doll.
Mm.
And so I bought her. She stuck her in a brown paper bag, and I went running out of the store real fast.
The corner.
Did you go to the corner and cross the street?
I went to the corner. And then I ran around the building that time and stopped and looked to see what that doll was. And it was just one of those things where it was one of those magical moments that happened, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still a Barbie collector. So I was collecting Barbie. Now, it's going to be 10 years between my first Lily and my second Lily.
Wow.
So this was 88. In 98, a girlfriend of mine came from Europe to sell at a doll show in New York and was going to stay with me for a few days while she was here. And she pulled this doll out of her suitcase, and here was another Lily.
Mm.
And I looked at her and I said, oh, I have to have her. And anyway, before I knew it, it had happened to me, and I was now looking for Lily. You know, whatever. I mean, I had I had too many Barbies as it was. I certainly didn't need to start another collection because I had only planned to have one Lily in my collection, and 250 dolls later.
Whoa!
Wow.
I'm not sure of that number, but it's around 250 because I've just never counted them.
Mm.
I don't know why. And I don't. And you girls were talking about having a log so that people would remember what you're collecting. I never had any of that. I just put my things in a box and send them to Marl and let her worry about that. You know? She knows all that stuff. She's learning about Lily, too. Trust me. She's learning about Lily now, too.
That's a great story. So a lot of people don't know much about Lily. You want to tell us a little bit about her?
She was only, as far as we know, we have very little documentation, unfortunately, on Lily, which is very strange for a German company, but they just did not document doll very well at all. Build Lily is called Build Lily because what she is a doll of a character in a cartoon in a newspaper that is called Build. That's the name of the newspaper.
Okay.
But that word in German also means picture or photograph.
Okay.
Picture. That's what the word means. Anyway, Lily was first a cartoon character, and then she became a doll 3 years after, in 1955, the Hauser Company was, who are 3M plastics in Germany, were contacted about making a doll of her. And so in 1955, she came out as a dressed doll. And most of the clothes that she wore were clothes that she wore in the cartoon.
Oh, cool. Mm, nice.
And it is told to us that the person who did the clothes was the wife of the man who owned Hauser. It was his wife who did that. And it was a cottage industry. In other words, they would buy the fabrics. And it is a theory from some of us that they bought remnants. Okay. Because we see the same dress made in so many different fabrics.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of patterns, but a lot of fabrics in one dress.
I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
And she was made for 6 years, and Mattel... Ruth Handler saw her in a store in Switzerland and bought three of them and took them back to Mattel. And she said, fellas, this is what we should be making.
Mm. You
know? Lily came in a tube, comes in a plastic tube and stands on her stand and is dressed. In other words, there's just not a bathing suit that she comes in. She can come in shorts or a nightgown or an evening gown or a cocktail dress or this, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And she was made for men to give to their girls as a joke.
Their girlfriends or girls?
Yes, their girlfriends.
Okay.
She was made she was marketed for men to give to their girlfriends, literally. Mm. Or she was marketed to hang in your car on a swing.
Oh, like on the rearview mirror?
Yeah, yeah. From up there.
Wow.
And the swing comes with a safety pin on the top of it that goes into that fabric in the top of your car.
Wow. And she's Bill Lily. She's the size of a Barbie.
Yes, but there are two
That's
sizes.
A good
of
size.
Lily.
Okay.
Yes, two sizes. Yes, there are two sizes: 7.5 and 11.5.
Okay, so the 7.5 is the one that you put in the car that swung.
No, both of them. You can. I mean, the thing is, they made one swing, and the swing literally fits the small Lily better than it swings the large Lily. But some people say that they have found Lily with the swing included in a large Lily.
Okay.
All right. We don't have any documentation on this, so we have to go by what we're told all the time, which is hard, which is very difficult. But in 1961, we know that in 1961, Mattel bought the rights to Lily, and they had to stop manufacturing them.
Okay. Who did?
Hauser.
Hauser did. Okay.
Had to stop manufacturing because Mattel bought the rights to Lily.
Okay.
So the Lily name, I don't know exactly how this worked, but Hauser sold their molds to Marks in Hong Kong.
Oh, that's where there's so many clones. And
Lilies come from, because they are not Lily, but they were made from the Build Lily molds out of different plastic in Hong Kong.
Okay, and they're called what now?
Well, we call them Hong Kong Lilies.
Hong Kong Lilies.
They were Alice. Okay. They were Betty. They were Brenda. Okay. They were not Barbie.
Right. Okay.
And most of them are very cheap plastic.
Okay.
Right.
And pretty cheap dolls. And unfortunately, most of them look like they would eat their young. You know. They're very, very wicked looking. Not my thing at all.
That's funny.
Wicked Lily.
But I do not. I'm a bit of a purist in a way. I mean, when I collected Barbie, I only collected the Barbie doll and her clothes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Ken doll and his clothes.
Right.
The Francie doll and her clothes. In other words, the doll and the clothes only is what I collected. So I had a display case built in my apartment that is quite fantastic, as a matter of fact. But if you would like, ladies, if you want to, we have a Facebook group called Build Lily, the Queen of the 50s.
Is a
Build Lily group on Facebook. And I have done a couple of little videos you can see there so that you can see the display case that I had built, which is 7 feet long.
Wow.
40 inches tall. Ooh. And it's quite spectacular.
Beautiful. Wow. Okay, definitely.
I'm excited about checking that out.
Well, just go there and check it out. You'll have to go to the group and then check on videos. You can see sort of the way I played with my collection.
Okay.
I mean, I'm about dressing dolls. I was never even about boxes and packaging because I'm not a packaging collector. I'm a doll collector. You know?
Right.
I want the doll out there so you can swing her skirt. And whatever she's... No, but you know, I mean, being a theatrical person and being a dancer, I want my girls to pose. I mean, when I take a picture, if she's not in the right pose, I can't take that picture, you know. that's just the way I am. When you get my
book,
you will understand a little bit more about what my collection was about.
Nice. Yes, I know you have a beautiful book.
And tell us a little bit about the book now.
Yeah, please.
When I started collecting, of course, I didn't have any place to set them, so I would set up little vignettes all around the house. Mm-hmm. Vignettes.
Oh.
And someone said, my upstairs neighbor was coming up the stairs one night, and he said, "Gene, are you collect? I heard you're collecting Barbie dolls." And I said, "Oh, well, where did you hear that?" you know, because I was still a closet collector. And he said, "Well, John and Frank, who lived on the second floor, said that you've got Barbie dolls." And I said, "Well, yeah, I do. well, can I see them? And I said, well, sure. So I invited him in, and he was looking, and he said, oh, you should photograph these. And I said, photograph them? I don't know the one end of a camera to the other. I can show you. I can help you. Anyway, we started photographing my dolls in little, just little, well, I'll show you one picture first, and then you can understand sort of what I'm talking about. In other words, here are two photographs.
Oh yeah.
Oh, those are nice. Yes. Yes.
But the thing that I've been told that when you go through this book that you forget you're looking at a doll, you just think you're looking at people.
Nice.
As you go through the book. That's anyway, this is my book.
Ugh, I'm so excited.
For the Love of a Doll.
Yes. Uh-huh. By Gene Foote and with Les Carr. Nice.
Les Carr was the photographer who,
nice.
Unfortunately, we had worked on this. Well, I had taken the pictures with me to Denmark. Christina came to have pizza with me and spend the night one night so her mom and dad could go out and party a little. And so I said, oh, Christina, let me show you the pictures of my dolls. And so I was showing her the pictures, and she looked at me and she said, well, what's the story? And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, what's the story? And I started telling her a story about a girl named Barbie who became an American icon.
Okay.
And she just sat there listening to this story. So I came back to New York and I said, Les, I think maybe we're on to something now. Because Christina says, tell me the story. So I started writing a story, and it's still just from 59 to 89 is where the book ends.
Wow.
Okay.
When she becomes a collectible.
Okay,
So it's a story of a girl named Barbie.
Right.
And it's written very simply. And there's just one picture on each page in this. And it's a big coffee table glamour book.
So what size is it?
It's taller than Barbie. It's 12 and a half inches.
Okay.
It's a tall book.
Yes. That's a nice book.
She's almost,
it's a coffee table book. So
yeah. She's almost life size on this.
Oh, okay. Nice.
She's almost.
I love it.
It's
a beautiful book. It's a beautiful
book. It is. I had it printed in New York City because I had seen a lot of the books that people have done, and the color wasn't good in many of them, or the this or that. And I just thought, no, I want to be able to have some control over this. So anyway, I got busy on this, and I wrote this book. And
nice,
and
I love it.
That's what happened.
So, do you have any more? Like, are you selling the book? Or
yeah,
do you
it's a limited edition of 2,000, and I've sold about 1,000 of them.
Okay,
and there's still about 1,000 left, I think.
Okay, so
but it took 15 years to do this book because unfortunately, happened was I went away one time and. My friend Les was diabetic, and he did something stupid and went into a diabetic coma and died on me while I was out of the country. Well, I came back, and we were just about ready to send the book to a publisher,
I
just shelved the book. I put it away until I was in the hospital in 2013. I was in the hospital for 2 months, and I couldn't do anything. And so a friend of mine said, it's time to work on that book.
Oh, that's lovely.
And
that's a great friend.
And she got me started working on it again. And the next thing I knew, I was publishing it.
Okay. Mm.
And I found a company in New York to do it for me. Was doing something that I wanted to do and to show the world how I appreciate Barbie.
Yeah. You're right.
And so it's a passion project. It's just like Georgette and I and our show at the point where we are now.
Oh, exactly.
So we understand that you can have so much love and so much enjoyment from something, your passion project, that you do it for
the love.
Well,
this book was a passion project for me, I will say that. And I'm not upset with how much I put into it, anything.
Right.
I'm just,
yes.
And the people who have it,
tell me
how much they love it.
I'm gonna love it.
Yes.
Did you, I guess, I don't know what they call it. But like a note in there, you know, about your journey.
A forward?
Friend.
Forward.
Yeah,
there's a forward.
Oh, there.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, no, no. There's the whole story about how the book happened.
Nice.
Okay. That's cool. That's really why it's called For the Love of a Doll, because it really should be called A Doll's Life.
Okay.
Really. But we thought For the Love of a Doll was more.
Yes.
Yeah. Just something more personal. I mean, it's funny. I know that Barbie is a girl's toy, but some of the most avid collectors that I know of are men.
Yes.
You know.
In the doll world. And we found that also with creators.
With creators,
men. And this is
with doll
full
artists,
of men. Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Lots of men in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. It really
is. Profession and collecting, however.
Well, I mean, now that Madame Alexander is gone, it's all men. I mean, Robert
Todd.
I mean,
there's a lot of...
It's all those guys are designing now. I mean, we don't have Carol any longer at Mattel. And I think most of the important designers at Mattel are men now.
Yeah, there's a lot of men at Mattel who are designing. I mean, there's some, you know, there are women too, but there's a lot. Carlisle is the one who...
Oh, Carlisle's wonderful. He's doing all that new stuff for them, which is fabulous. But that's not the doll I collect.
Right.
And I understand. I
and everybody has their own style of collecting.
Yes.
I mean, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, I mean... The thing is that you have to realize Barbie was made for little girls.
I know.
Yes. Integrity makes their dolls for big girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they do. And you make your doll for a big girl, not for little girls.
Right. Yes.
Although
little
girls are going to love her too. Because that's why Lily happened, was because little girls discovered her.
Yeah.
The stores, and they wanted her.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's how that all happened with the Lily doll also.
Yes, and with Lily, you were saying before that it was odd that as a German company,
did not document her very well. We can't find out very much information. By the time people wanted to know about the doll, the people who had worked on her had mostly died.
Okay.
Or the man who was still the lead that was one of their biggest interviews, he had Alzheimer's. The man who owned the company.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And but you have to remember that most of the people that were working there are gone now. The information that Silke and the other people who worked on the Lily book that we have, they just basically found out things from each other and from having the dolls and having this and doing
that. Okay, that makes sense.
Because it's very hard. I mean, luckily, Barbie is being much better documented now, of course. But even when they wanted to reproduce the number one Barbie, you know, nobody at Mattel had one. They had to buy... The woman's husband, who was the head of Mattel at that time, bought her a number one Barbie so that they could collect her, so that they could
come. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's really interesting. I guess
they just didn't keep, they didn't think of it, you know?
Yes.
Well, and now we want to know, because Barbie is, I guess, the biggest collected doll in the world.
Yeah,
there's so many of us. I mean, it's fabulous when that 1,000 people come together in a hotel and just play dolls for a week.
Yes.
It's fabulous.
Yes.
We have so much fun together.
That's so cool.
Yes, that's great.
And I've met a lot of wonderful people that I will never forget in the doll world. I mean, anytime that I can do anything that will help you, I'm willing to do it. Because I think this is a wonderful idea that you ladies are doing. I mean, just a wonderful thing that I'm sure you must have a wonderful audience. I'm going to become an audience. I know that.
Good. We're always looking for somebody else to share with.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. This has been an amazing journey. And we realized after releasing like the first show or two that the show was much bigger than we expected it to be, because let's go and, you know, talk to some people who collect dolls or whatever. And then it's like, oh, I know this person, I know that person. And then Georgette early on said, you know, let's interview Mel Odom. Okay.
Yeah, that was kind of like our, like, you know, it's always that thing when you do a business or when you do something, just like, you know, in your field.
I have all of the first Jean dolls.
Yeah.
I have them all.
Wow.
Every one of, I have all of the Franklin Mint dolls.
Wow. Nice. That's nice.
Yeah. Well, I only bought the first three because they were all offered at the same time.
Okay.
And it was only because I admire Mel so much for his artwork that I wanted to support him. Well, the next thing I knew, I had a closet full of those too. how big those girls are.
Yes. So when you first found out about Gene, I'm not saying that you knew him personally, but did you know of Mel as an artist before you got the dolls?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Oh, okay. Well, yes, of course, because his drawings are in all those wonderful magazines.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. I mean, of course, I've always. And yes, I did know about Mel because he was a Barbie collector, you know.
Mm. I didn't realize that.
Oh, well, yes. How do you think he got started to make a doll? He had to think of something, but he's a doll collector too.
Okay.
And we knew each other through Barbie. So when he designed his doll, I wanted to support him, of course.
Yeah. Oh,
so
that's great.
I bought the first three and then I bought the next one. But I eventually have all of the Ashton Drake jeans in the attic.
Nice. Wow. How many were released? Do you know? Just out of curiosity.
I have no idea.
Oh, that's right. You said you don't count your dolls. You have
30
a number
or 40 of
them
or something.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of them.
And you guys all probably lived in the same area, very close, because I know he lived in Midtown.
Well, you know, Manhattan is a walking town.
I know it is. Yes. So, Gene, we just want to know where people can reach out to you at.
Oh, on Facebook, there is a group called For the Love of a Doll. And there it tell, because this book is not in the stores.
Okay.
It was privately published. It's a limited edition of 2000. Okay. And if you go to Facebook for the Love of a Doll, it gives you the instructions how you can get this book.
Okay, great. Okay. And if they have any questions for you, or they want to know more about Build Lily or Barbie.
Well, there's Build Lily, Queen of the 50s is another Facebook.
Okay.
Facebook page, and I'm the moderator of that page.
Okay, good. So they can reach out to you there.
Right, you can reach out to me there. And then just on For the Love of a Doll, it gives you the information of how you can get this book.
Okay, beautiful.
Okay, that's great.
All right, great. All right, thank you.
Does that help at all?
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
We have had a wonderful time. Thank you for joining us for this interview. And for those of you who are out there listening to our show and watching our show, thank you for joining us on In the Doll World. And we look forward to seeing you, or you seeing us, next week.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Gene.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to In the Doll World. Me and Tammy really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other doll enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show, or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the doll community in your area, please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedollworld@gmail.com and or tammy.inthedollworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedollworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Doll World.
Hey, all you Doll World listeners. This is Georgette. Just wanted to jump in here before we did our intro with our music into the show and let you know that a part of this interview was conducted via video as well. So there's going to be some referencing to maybe some dolls, and also definitely a reference to a book that our guest Gene Foote wrote called For the Love of a Doll. And so you may hear us, you know, mention how wonderful the pictures are. If you'd love to see that book and see some more of the dolls that he references throughout this podcast, you can check us out at our YouTube channel, but you have to search for In the Doll World podcast, and then it'll show up. We don't have a customized URL yet because we need 100 subscribers. So please, if you go to YouTube, please make sure you hit subscribe. That would be wonderful. But in the meantime, just wanted to let you know that, and we'll go ahead and get started with the intro and our music to In the Doll World. Thank you again for listening. Bye.